Three decades ago, composers Michael Gordon, David Wang, and Julia Wolf noticed something missing in the universe of music, a zone between rock, jazz, classical, and folk, where new forms of musical expression could find new audiences and new players. So they invented a new world of music, and they called it Bang on a Can. The annual Bang on a Can Summer Music Festival at Massmocha in North Adams, Massachusetts, includes daily performances in the museum galleries, a concert with the Bang on a Can All-Stars, and concludes with a six-hour blowout marathon concert performed by the festival ensembles, as well as special guests. The festival also features workshops, late-night concerts, free events in North Adams, and much more. This year features special festival guest, composer Steve, is it Reich?
Mm-hmm, Steve Reich.
Steve Reich. Julia Wolf is a Pulitzer Prize-winning composer. It is great to have her in the studio as whenever she can come in, and we're thrilled to have her today. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's great to be here.
We love when you're here. So, how are things going?
Things are great. I can't believe we've only been going for 2 days and already we're deep in it. You know, it's such a universe of meeting of creative minds from all over the world. I think we have 6 Australians this year, a few people from the UK, France, Denmark, Netherlands. It's, you know, all the people who are doing interesting and kind of cutting edge work that are young come here and they meet each other. And a lot of crazy and beautiful music happens.
What is the, and I assume this varies, but what is the knowledge level that they have coming in of the work of others?
Well, we have both performers and composers. So we have 30-something instrumentalists and this year 9 composers. And it's pretty competitive to get in. But once you're here, we were just talking about this the other day, there's no... it's not competitive once you're in. It's a real sense of community. Mm-hmm. But they're coming in. They're classically trained and otherwise trained, too. A lot of them play folk music or jazz or improvise. But they're playing at a very high level, so they can read pretty thorny rhythms and, you know, play complicated music, but then also groove, playing some Latin music. So they have a broad musicianship coming in. And most very, very deep knowledge of the current state of new music.
So are they aware of the music of the others who they are participating with, or do they not know that going in?
Once they get here, they're seeing a lot of new stuff.
Okay.
So, for example, on next Monday, the last Monday of the festival, I should have the date in front of me, but the last Monday is the night of all premieres by the Composer Fellows, and so those are hot off the press. The ink is still wet, so to speak, and big groups of the Instrumental fellows will be playing those new pieces. So that's just brand new. Those pieces didn't exist before. But then, you know, a lot of them haven't played Steve Reich before or haven't played, you know, say the music of Michael David and I or other exciting composers we have coming up. So in this context, a lot of things are new. And that's part of why they come here, to experience that.
And have other people experience their music, whether they're performing it or composing it.
I mean, are they known?
Meaning when, so they come with their own style, which they are then exposing to other people in the group.
Yeah. Everyone's bringing a lot to the table that will be new for each other and for us. So it's all new. I mean, there are a few, once in a while we'll play a piece by a composer who isn't living, and maybe it's a known figure like John Cage or, you know, George Crumb or someone. Actually, no, George Crumb is living. I did not mean to have him not be living. But he's one of the older people we've presented. But most of it is brand new. It's hot off the press. It's really fresh. And so everyone is figuring it out together, you know, developing the language of how to talk about it and how to play it. And it's exciting.
Yeah. It is exciting. How much do you want to, is the emphasis always on new, or is the emphasis always and I even mean new in new collaborations or doing something that you've done before in a new way, because I don't know about your audiences. I mean, most times when people come in, they also want to know if they are Bang on a Can fans, then they have an idea of what they want too.
Yeah, and it's a great audience up here. People drive far to come. People coming in from Vermont and from New York State, sometimes driving up from New York City to come to the festival. And they do have a certain idea of what the energy and the creativity of what Bang in a Can is. You know, when you're hearing a piece of music in this context, it'll be concert music, but you can hear some nice fiddly folk influences. You'll hear some rock influences. A lot of pieces involve amplification or electric guitar, but it's all within a concert setting. So there's definitely a world that people recognize and they come for. But that said, we hope to surprise people nonetheless with a number of pieces. But there certainly is a bunch of the repertoire and even some of the composers we're presenting are familiar to the fans.
So give me an idea of what your next couple of days is like. I mean, obviously there's the performance element, but then there's also the working element.
Well, every day is very full, particularly for the fellows. The day starts with movement. So we actually do this whole, it's got a kind of a combination of body alignment and yoga in the morning. And that's unusual for a music festival. But, you know, musicians are athletes. They are amazing how they are. They're not just moving their fingers. I mean, the whole body is involved. And so we wanted to pay attention to that. So we added that as the start of the day. Actually, that's been there from the very beginning. Then they go into sessions where they're playing music that's not notated. So this week we have an amazing Ghanaian drummer, and he's the head of drumming, and Nani is the head of drumming at Cal Arts in California. We fly him in, and he gets everybody moving and playing really amazing rhythms, and they really feel it in their body because they're not looking at the music on the paper. They're listening and carefully coordinating. So they're doing that in the morning, and then they break into their chamber music settings where they're playing notated music. Every day at lunchtime, there's a concert free to the public. Well, free to the museum goers, and that's fellows putting up special projects that they want to share in the galleries. They find a cool spot where maybe it resonates with whatever the visual art is. In the afternoon, they go back into chamber groups again, and every afternoon starting Friday for the next couple of weeks, there's an afternoon concert that's open to the public. And those generally feature the faculty, but sometimes we have special guests coming up to also that will be, you know, fun to check out. Then we all eat lunch together. We all eat dinner together. It's pretty family style. And at the end of the day, they either go off and practice some more on their own, or sometimes there's a lecture. We'll be talking to them about the business of music, you know, the kind of issues you don't necessarily learn in music school, like contracts or forming an ensemble or interfacing with a venue. So we like to help guide them, you know, with that part of the work also. So once in a while, there's a Frisbee game or baseball or something. You know, we've had some fun having some Europeans come try to play softball, you know, which they've never played before. So we try to, you know, have some hiking and picnics too.
And not just because of the Frisbee and softball, but Massmoka just seems like a perfect site for what you do.
Oh, it's such a gift. They're amazing, and we feel so lucky. I mean, from the very beginning, way back in 1987 when we started, we had imagined, could we have some sort of institute or educational component to Bang in a Can? And never got to it, but then just by some incredible chance, we met Joe Thompson, who's the head of Massmoka, and he walked David Lang through the building with a hard hat on and said, here's what we're doing here. We're building this museum in this factory. Would you guys like to come and contribute music to this? And we were like, yes. So that was an incredible invitation, and I can't believe what they're doing there. It's phenomenal. The art is so exciting, and the building is amazing. The campus is huge, and they're, you know, very quickly developing it and opening beautiful, airy spaces to all this incredible art. So we feel really lucky to be a part of that conversation. They're, you know, just racing with it.
Do you think you talked a moment ago about where there are performances, pop-up performances in some of the galleries. Do you think that the place and even more, and more specifically the art in some way informs the musical art that is taking place.
Yeah, it's a really nice synergy. I mean, it isn't always an exact matchup, but we definitely take a look at what the show is that year, that summer, and think about what works together. What's symbiotic. The students themselves find locations that they respond to. Like, I remember one year there was a piccolo player who played. It was a piece of art that was a large cage with birds in it, actually live birds. And she thought, oh, how amazing to bring this piccolo in with the birds. And so they're looking for places that resonate with the kind of piece they might imagine there. And it's magical. It's very different to experience music in that way, both spatially and visually.
The birds were okay with the piccolo?
They seem to be communicating, yeah.
They were all right?
They're all right.
Good. Are you, this goes back to an earlier question, but are you generally overseeing all of this, or are you creating new work as well while you're there?
Well, I'm always creating new work. I guess we're the three of us, Michael Gordon, David Lang, and I are obsessive composers, and that's where it begins, you know, that we are creative artists. And at this point, and in the beginning, we did everything. We sold the tickets and sold the beer and cleaned the bathrooms and whatever else, wrote the grants. And little by little, we built a structure to support that because we really couldn't have kept, we would have burned out if we hadn't. And so we have a wonderful team, like about four wonderful people in the office. Kenny Salveson is the executive director. Philippa Thompson is actually the head of the Summer Institute up here at Massmoca for our music program. And so we're composers, and I think that brings a certain curatorial view. We're really inside it. We're not curating from the outside. And so we're bringing music in that excites us and that has inspired us. But we are all writing music every day in the morning. So I wake up and that's the golden time. When my mind's working relatively. And so we work and then until we go in and then meet with the composers and have a seminar.
In just a few moments, we're gonna play the fourth movement of your Anthracite Fields, which I believe is Flowers. Mm-hmm. And won the Pulitzer Prize. How life-changing is that or isn't it?
Well, that's an interesting question. It certainly is incredibly supportive. You know, whenever you shine a light on a piece of work, people become aware of it. They get excited about it. I'm still me and it's still it, you know, so, you know, you sort of have to take it all with a grain of salt in a certain sense. But it's wonderful to have the support. It does bring attention to it, as it does if you walk into a bookstore and you see the label, the sticker on the book. I think it works similarly for the piece, but they have to like it. I mean, I think that if someone's going to book the piece, has to resonate with them. Aside from the accolades, it has to have some meaning to them.
But I ask this question a lot of authors who have won a Pulitzer Prize. When you look back on your work, do you think that this is necessarily some of or your best work?
Well, first I should say that. You know, the Pulitzer Prize, it's five people sitting in a room.
Right.
I've been on the panel. It's very interesting, amazing conversations. But five different people pick another best piece of the year. I feel that very strongly, and I share that with the students that I teach. There have been many miraculous landmark works that have been overlooked.
Sure.
So it's hard to say, is this the best piece of the year or my best piece?
Well, I'm talking about you. I mean, when you look at your body of work, do you think, oh, well, yeah, this makes sense at this one because this is some of the best. This is what I've been really trying for.
Well, I feel like it's a piece that's come with maturity in a certain sense. It's one of my large scale pieces. I think I could have felt as strongly about Steel Hammer, which preceded it. Steel Hammer was like really the breakthrough piece for me. It's the piece where I felt like I rediscovered my language. I mean, you can still hear the earlier me in it, but I broke into a lot of new territory with that piece. That actually was a runner-up one year, but didn't quite make it to the end. I was surprised. Actually, I was surprised with both pieces. They're pretty earthy pieces. They're not fancy. You know, I mean, there's a lot of folk elements. There's a lot of grit in the pieces. They're pretty political. So happy that they you know, were recognized. But I think it's a continuum. I think certainly Anthracite Fields was another leap for me. It was definitely a deeper research process. So with Steel Hammer, I was researching the Ballad of John Henry and finding all the different versions. With Anthracite Fields, I was doing lots of different kinds of research and interviewing third generation miners and grandchildren of miners and miners themselves, watching documentary, reading tons of books, looking at photographs and maps, and meeting with curators of historical museums. It really was a wonderful journey for at least a year before I put a note on the page.
The Bangin' a Can Summer Music Festival at Massapoqua in North Adams is taking place through July 28th. To learn more, you can go to banginacan.org or massmocha.org. Both links will be posted with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. We are also going to play the fourth movement of Julia Wolfe's Anthracite Fields, Flowers, recorded by the Choir of Trinity Wall Street. Julia, thank you so much for being with us. A delight to have you here, and have a beautiful remainder of the festival.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great pleasure.